Sutra. Compassionate substance, the thunder of precepts, kind intent, a wondrous great cloud. He rains down sweet dew and dharma rain, which extinguish the flames of affliction. Commentary. Compassionate substance, the thunder of precepts. Compassionate substance means that Guanyin Bodhisattva takes the substance of compassion as his dharma substance. Where does this compassionate substance come from? It comes from precepts. When Guanyin Bodhisattva first began to cultivate, he held the precepts purely, and from this purity he brought forth vast kindness and compassion. The kindness that includes even those with whom one doesn't have affinities. This dharma substance is like thunder. It emits a thunderous roar, and living beings are awakened by it. The blind can see it, and even the deaf can hear the sound of this thunder. And so it says, compassionate substance, the thunder of precepts. Kind intent, a wondrous great cloud. Guanyin Bodhisattva uses level and equal kindness and compassion to help living beings. The sutra said, his kind eyes watching living beings. With kindness and compassion, he bestows joy upon living beings in a level and equal way. Acting like a wondrous huge cloud, he rains down sweet dew and dharma rain. Sweet dew is actually the water of immortality found in the heavens. Why are the heavenly gods immortal? Because they drink sweet dew. So you say, even the gods take their vitalizers. It's no wonder that these days people who want to get enlightened pop all sorts of pills. But the heavenly medicine is natural. It's not manufactured. When the gods imbibe this medicine, they never age. Now, Guanyin Bodhisattva has a wonderful great cloud that lets fall sweet dew, the elixir of immortality, which extinguishes the flames of affliction and puts an end to the sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death. People in this world have afflictions, and it's as though they were being scorched by flames. Why don't you become a Buddha? Because you have afflictions. Why haven't you become enlightened? Because you have afflictions. Why aren't you truly free? Because you have afflictions. Another name for afflictions is attachments. Where do these attachments stem from? They come from selfishness. Why are you attached? Because you are selfish and you want to seek private gain. If you have only the common good in mind, if you are truly public-spirited, then what attachments could you possibly have? If you aren't selfish, you won't be attached. If you don't have attachments, you won't be afflicted. And if you don't have afflictions, you will be liberated. Once you are liberated, you are enlightened. Becoming enlightened is just realizing Buddhahood. Afflictions are the very worst thing to have, yet people can't stand to be apart from them. Whether moving or still, awake or asleep, they don't ever want to be apart from afflictions. You say, "Well, I'm happy all the time and I don't have any afflictions." Well, if you have attained genuine bliss, then of course you're not afflicted. But if you haven't attained genuine bliss and you fake it, you force yourself to believe that you're happy, then it's not true happiness. Inside, the affliction is still heavy, and one day it will turn up. It'll explode. It's like smothering weeds with a large rock so that the weeds won't be able to grow. But once you remove the rock, they will quickly flourish. If you haven't attained true bliss, your afflictions will still remain. Of the four vast vows that the Bodhisattva makes, the first one is, "Living beings are boundless. I vow to save them all." Why does Guanyin Bodhisattva come to this world? Only because living beings are boundless, and he has vowed to save them all. The second vast vow is, "Afflictions are endless. I vow to sever them all." Does Guanyin Bodhisattva have afflictions? No, he has cut them off, but he takes living beings' afflictions as his own. Seeing that living beings haven't cut off their afflictions, he makes the vow, "Afflictions are endless. I vow to cut them off." Basically, afflictions are endless, like waves on water. The first wave subsides and the next one rises. That wave subsides and yet another wave rises in its wake. This goes on continuously without cease. Afflictions are just like that, endless. The third vast vow is, "Dharma doors are limitless. I vow to study them all." Some people study one or two sutras and they become self-satisfied. They say they already understand Buddhism. But the Buddhism they understand is not as much as a single drop within the great sea of the Buddha Dharma. These people who become self-satisfied are just like an ant who goes to the ocean to get a drink of water. He takes his fill and says that he has drunk up the entire sea. Actually, the ant only filled up his own stomach. He hasn't even drunk a single drop of the great sea. The last vast vow is, "The Buddha way is unsurpassed. I vow to realize it." There is nothing higher than the Buddha way, so everyone should resolve to become a Buddha. Don't look down on yourself. Think of yourself as originally being a Buddha. However, that doesn't mean you are a Buddha now. Basically, we are all completely endowed with a Buddha nature. But now, because we don't know how to cultivate, we don't possess the three bodies of the Buddha, the four types of wisdom, the five eyes, or the six spiritual penetrations. Guanyin Bodhisattva bases his teaching on the four vast vows, and he uses the sweet dew of Dharma rain to cause all beings to become refreshed and content, so they won't have any more afflictions. Sutra. In the midst of contention, when faced with lawsuits or when someone is terrified on the battlefield. If he evokes the strength of Guanyin, all his many enemies will scatter and leave. Commentary. In the midst of contention, when faced with lawsuits, contention means fighting. During the Dharma-ending age, contention is at its height. When the Buddha dwells in the world, the period is called the proper Dharma age. During the proper Dharma age, dhyana concentration is solid. At that time, everyone likes to investigate dhyana and enter samadhi. The proper Dharma age lasts from the time the Buddha appears in the world until 1,000 years following his passing into stillness. After that comes the Dharma image age. During the Dharma image age, people are resolute in building temples. They erect stupas and make images, and they consider that to be the most important work. Everyone likes to build big temples. That's why in this world some countries have great temples as a vestige of the Dharma image age. The Dharma image age also lasts for 1,000 years, and after that comes the Dharma ending age. The Dharma ending age lasts for 10,000 years. Ending here also refers to the tip of the branch. At that time, the Dharma has arrived at its termination. At present, we are in the Dharma ending age. During this time, people are neither resolute in dhyana concentration nor in building temples. They are resolute in fighting. And that's what we are discussing now in this line of verse. Contention. Countries fight with countries. Families fight with families. People fight with people. Animals fight with animals. Ghosts fight with ghosts. There is fighting everywhere. Why? Because during the Dharma ending age, it's the nature of people to like fighting. However, right within the Dharma ending age, there is the proper Dharma age. And in the Dharma image age, there is also the proper Dharma age. What does this mean? Even within the Dharma ending age, there are still people who want to investigate Chan and sit in meditation. For example, many people here like to take time out in the morning or evening, or even in the midst of a busy day, to sit in meditation. Just this is being in the proper Dharma age. During the Dharma ending age, these people make up only an extremely small percentage of the entire population. The fact that we can still lecture the sutras and speak Dharma, and that people vigorously cultivate according to the teachings, and that some still find time amidst their busy schedules to sit in meditation, even to the point that some don't eat or sleep in order to come to hear the sutra lectures, means that the proper Dharma age is found right within the Dharma ending age. Now, if all of us come together to build great way places and temples, then we are in the Dharma image age that is found within the Dharma ending age. Furthermore, within the Dharma image age, there are also the Dharma ending age and the proper Dharma age. For instance, during the Dharma image age, when people like to build temples, there are those who don't like to build temples and who don't even believe in the Buddha. And that's like having the Dharma ending age within the Dharma image age. And again, If at that time people get together and vigorously cultivate, then that's the proper Dharma age within the Dharma image age. Likewise, within the proper Dharma age, the Dharma ending age and the Dharma image age are also found. During the proper Dharma age, if people like to build temples, then they are dwelling in the Dharma image age. There are also those who study the Buddha Dharma just a bit and then stop. They don't investigate thoroughly. And that's like having the Dharma ending age right within the proper Dharma age. Although this age is generally recognized as the Dharma ending age, there are those of us in the West who abide in and uphold the proper Dharma, and who have made vows to propagate the Buddha Dharma so that it will forever remain in the world. Thus, we have the proper Dharma age within the Dharma ending age. Every day we recite and hold the Sharangama Mantra, and in this way we are helping the entire world. If there isn't even a single person who recites the Sharangama Mantra in a world, then that world is about to be destroyed. At that time, all of the ghosts, goblins, and demons, the Li, Mei, and Wangliang ghosts will appear. Why is it that they don't dare to make a full force descent upon the world right now? It's because in this world there are still people who hold the Sharangama Mantra and who cultivate the Great Compassion Mantra and the 42 hands and eyes. Because of this, the demons and goblins don't dare to come out. Now the text mentions a time that is strong in fighting, so it says, in the midst of contention, when faced with lawsuits. At such a time, you have to go before a judge and argue things out. Then you have to hire an attorney. Some attorneys have the talent to make you appear totally unreasonable, even if you're on the right side of the law. Conversely, the cases of people who are clearly on the wrong side can be made to look completely justifiable. This is distorting right and wrong, turning things upside down. Several months ago, there was a news item in the papers. A woman murdered her husband. Now, this woman was really rich, and she promised her attorney a fat sum of money if he got her off. The attorney knew very well that she was a murderer, but somehow he was able to twist the truth at the trial and defended her in such a way that she got off with her life. So tell me, is there any true principle around? If you have enough money, you can kill and still get off scot-free. This often happens in cases of contention. People go to court to argue about principles, but somehow the lawyers twist the facts around so that even if you have principle, they make it appear as if you don't. And if you don't have principle, they make it appear as if you do. Isn't this world full of darkness? If you go to court and argue your case, but you don't have a lot of money, then even if you have reason on your side, you still get convicted. Conversely, even if you don't have reason on your side, but you are wealthy, you are freed. People are manipulated by money to the point that their consciences are completely destroyed. Or when someone is terrified on the battlefield. This is when one becomes petrified amidst clashing armies on the battlefield. If he evokes the strength of Guanyin, all his many enemies will scatter and leave. If you can only recite Namo Guanshu Yin Bodhisattva, then your enemies will retreat and disperse. All the feuding will somehow disappear, and your enemies will disperse. Who are your enemies? Say you have to go to court to argue a case against another person, or you fall before an adversary on the battlefield. The reason for this is the resentment piled up over many lifetimes, and animosity builds up over lifetimes to the point that the people involved come together to fight it out. Each person has to undergo his or her retribution. But if at that time you can be mindful of Guanyin Bodhisattva, this kind of retribution will be diminished. The heavy offenses will become lighter, and the light ones will completely disappear. So the text says, all his many enemies will scatter and leave. And so the power of Guanyin Bodhisattva is truly inconceivable, and not something that most people can understand. During World War II, a man by the name of Fei Fangjiu lived in Shanghai. He practiced reciting Guanyin Bodhisattva's name every day. During the Sino-Japanese War, Shanghai was constantly being shelled, and so he decided to move from his house to avoid the bombing. Right after he moved, his house was completely destroyed by a bomb. After staying 4 or 5 days at the new shelter, he got the notion that this place wouldn't be safe either, so he moved again. He moved to the concession zone, an area that was loaned to foreigners. That was an area that the Westerners had leased from China to dwell in, and the Japanese didn't dare bomb that area. After living in the concession zone for a while, Fei Fangjiu thought that it wasn't safe either. But that area was surrounded by electric fencing, and there was no way he could leave. Right at that time, when he was in a quandary as to what he should do, he saw a child. The child said, "You better get out of here quickly. The Japanese army is on its way." Suddenly, he saw a place in the electric fence about 2 feet wide that was broken, just enough of a space to crawl through. He managed to get his mother, his wife, and his children out of the area through this hole in the fence. When they had all gotten out, the guards who had been on sentry duty were astonished. They couldn't figure out how those people had gotten through. Fei Fangjiu then turned back to look for the child, but the child was nowhere to be seen. He looked back at the electric fence, and the hole wasn't there. He was really puzzled. In this way, he was saved from the terror of the battlefield. From this incident, we can see that the power of Guanyin Bodhisattva is truly inconceivable. Now that we know Guanyin Bodhisattva protects those who recite his name, we should bring forth genuine faith and a sincere resolve to recite his name. Many enemies doesn't refer to just one kind of enemy. I just related how countries fight with countries, families fight with families, people fight with people, ghosts fight with ghosts, and animals fight with animals. Our ominous present-day situations are created by the power of living beings' collective karma. There are many countries, in fact, where the population isn't even composed of human beings. Sometimes a large group of mice might get reborn together as people in one place and make up a country. Or sometimes a population of frogs can be born together as humans in a particular country. Last spring, 1968, a lay disciple showed us an article in the newspaper which reported that in a certain country, several tens of thousands of frogs all committed suicide together. Why did this happen? It's because the frog population was too large, so they all committed suicide in order to be reborn as humans. This shows that most of the people in that country were frogs before. If you check out the physiognomy in detail, they even look somewhat like frogs. Each nationality has its own characteristics, because in former lives they were a particular kind of animal. Now they have become people. Last spring I talked about this principle and someone asked me, in America, what were people before? I said, they were all kinds of creatures. There are a lot of immigrants from many different countries in America, and they used to be people, animals, and all kinds of beings. That's the truth. If you look carefully, and if you have the Buddha eye, the wisdom eye, or the heavenly eye, you will know that the people in the world aren't necessarily people. There are many kinds of creatures in human form. How can you tell? If you have the Buddha eye or the wisdom eye, and you want to know what people were in their past lives, you look at the shadow behind them. If there is a human shadow behind them, then they were people in their last lives. If they were animals or some strange creatures, they will have those shadows behind them. But if you haven't opened your Buddha eye, wisdom eye, or heavenly eye, you won't be able to tell. Don't think that everyone you meet is a person. For example, Lin Biao, commander-in-chief of Chinese Communist Army, who was chosen by Mao Zedong to be his official successor, was a wolf in his last life. That's why so many people were afraid of him. Zhou Enlai was a human in his last life. How can you tell? If you obtain the heavenly eye, you can know all about these things. Don't be impatient. Just keep working hard and you'll be able to know whatever you want to know. Now, in China, and I'm not scolding Chinese people, there are a lot of people who used to be mice, but there are also many who used to be people, ghosts, or animals. In general, every country has people who used to be horses, cows, sheep, chickens, dogs, pigs, and so forth. Most people have come from the animal realm. This is a very subtle doctrine, however. Most people won't believe it if they haven't experienced it. If you really want to know these things, you have to put your feet firmly on the ground and cultivate. When you obtain spiritual powers, you will know. The things that the Dharma Master said are really true. He told us really wonderful things. Then you'll know. Sutra. Wondrous your sound, contemplator of the world sounds, a pure sound, a sound like the sea tide, a sound beyond all worldly sounds. We shall always bear it in mind. Commentary. Wondrous your sound, contemplator of the world sounds. Not only is the Bodhisattva's sound wondrous and subtle, it is also pure. A pure sound, a sound like the sea tide. The pure sound of Guanyin Bodhisattva is like the sound of the sea tide, which is reliable, ebbing and flowing. A sound beyond all worldly sounds. We shall always bear it in mind. Everyone should always recollect the name of Guanshuyin Bodhisattva. Sutra. In thought after thought, we have no doubt. Guanshuyin is pure and sagely. In times of suffering, agony, danger, and death, he is our refuge and protector. Commentary. In thought after thought, we have no doubt. You shouldn't think, what use is it to recite the name of Guanshuyin Bodhisattva? Isn't that just meaningless, reciting it every day? It's very important not to have doubts. You shouldn't have doubts for even a moment. Guanshuyin is pure and sagely. In times of suffering, agony, danger, and death, he is our refuge and protector. You can turn your very life over to Guanshuyin Bodhisattva. He will certainly protect and help you. Sutra. Complete with all merit and virtue, his kind eyes watching living beings, he is endowed with massive blessings, limitless as the sea. Therefore, we should reverently worship him. Commentary. Complete with all merit and virtue, his kind eyes watching living beings. Guanyin Bodhisattva possesses inconceivable spiritual powers. Like a compassionate father, Guanshuyin Bodhisattva, with the same kind eyes, looks upon all living beings to see whether they have committed offenses or not. He is endowed with massive blessings, limitless as the sea. His equal, great compassion, saves all living beings. The blessed reward he has cultivated is as great and boundless as the sea. Therefore, we should reverently worship him. Today, we have finished the verse section. Tomorrow, we will finish the Universal Door chapter. On Sunday, we will begin to lecture on the entire sutra. Note: the Venerable Master explained the Universal Door chapter first, and after that he lectured on the Lotus Sutra from the beginning. To have an opportunity to hear the entire Lotus Sutra is very rare. Now, there's nowhere you can go to hear the entire Lotus Sutra. In Hong Kong and Taiwan, there might be a chance, but it's very rare. Here, in affluent America, you can hear the sutra. By listening to it, you are imperceptibly helping the entire world. We lecture the sutra here, and the entire world receives the benefits of the Dharma Assembly. The auspicious and lucky energy helps the world. wherever the sutras are lectured, the gods, dragons, and the Eightfold Division come to guard the Bodhi Mandha. By coming to listen to the lectures, you too protect the Bodhi Mandha. One must have great good roots to have a chance to listen to the sutras. A person without good roots couldn't hear them even if he wanted to. One demonic obstacle after another would prevent him from attending the lectures. In general, he wouldn't be able to make it. Now that you can hear the sutras and the Dharma, be assured that you have great merit and virtue. Sutra. At that time, the Bodhisattva, guardian of the earth, rose from his seat and said to the Buddha, "World-honored one, if there are those who hear this chapter of Guanxuyin Bodhisattva, who learn about the self-mastery of his deeds and the power of his spiritual penetrations, as shown in this universal door, you should know that the merit and virtue of such people will not be small." Commentary. At that time, after Shakyamuni Buddha had finished speaking the verses, the Bodhisattva, guardian of the earth. This Bodhisattva is mentioned in the Sharangama Sutra. Limitless eons ago, this Bodhisattva was illiterate. Although he had never studied the Buddha Dharma, his conduct was very near that of a Buddhist. He was very strong and powerful. He could lift and move things that no one else could. He worked in repairing roads, and sometimes he repaired bridges. He would help people move their carts or carry their burdens, and he never took any payment for these services. He did this for a long time. Once, a Buddha named Vishvabhu came by and said to him, "Leveling the roads is just casting aside the roots to grasp at the branches. It's superficial work." "Then what should I do?" said the Bodhisattva. "If you want to level the roads, first you should level your mind ground. Why are there mountains and valleys, hills and dales? Because people's minds aren't level. People's minds go up and down, and so the mountains, rivers, and valleys of the great earth come into being. You should first level your mind ground. If the mind ground is level, all places are level." Having heard these instructions, Guardian of the Earth Bodhisattva then cultivated the mind ground Dharma door. He leveled the ground of his mind and cultivated to accomplishment. From among the assembly, Guardian of the Earth Bodhisattva rose from his seat and said to the Buddha, "World-honored one, if there are those who hear this chapter of Guanxuyin Bodhisattva, who learn about the self-mastery of his deeds and the power of his spiritual penetrations, as shown in this universal door." Those are his 32 response bodies, 14 kinds of fearlessnesses, and 19 ways of speaking Dharma. You should know that the merit and virtue of such people will not be small. The merit from hearing this chapter on Guanyin Bodhisattva's universal door is not small by any means. Sutra. When the Buddha had spoken the Universal Door chapter, 84,000 living beings in the assembly all brought forth the resolve for Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. Commentary. When the Buddha had spoken the Universal Door chapter, 84,000 living beings in the assembly all brought forth the resolve for Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. The mind for the unsurpassed, proper and equal, right enlightenment. 84,000 living beings also refers to 84,000 kinds of afflictions we living beings have. The bodies of each one of us contains 84,000 germs. We people are big germs, and all the little germs live inside of us. Inside our blood, flesh, and internal organs. We are the life support systems for the little germs, and the little germs help the big germs. Each one of the germs is actually a living being. You could never count them, there being so many, but in general we say 84,000. Outwardly, the world is filled with many, many more than 84,000 beings. 84,000 beings also refers to the thoughts which rise and pass away continually in the minds of living beings. Each thought is a living being, rising and passing away, undergoing birth and death. The 84,000 living beings are not separate from your own nature. These 84,000 living beings all bring forth, at the same time, the resolve for Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi is a Sanskrit word. Anuttara means unsurpassed. Samyak means proper and equal. And Sambodhi means right enlightenment. There is nothing higher than this enlightenment. It's equal to the enlightenment of the Buddha. Upon hearing this Universal Door chapter, all the 84,000 living beings brought forth the resolve for enlightenment. That was an especially rare occasion. Now, at the Buddhist Lecture Hall in San Francisco, we have lectured the Universal Door chapter, and over 20 people have heard it. All of these 20 people have 84,000 living beings inside of them. Ultimately, how many beings are there? And yet, did they all bring forth the mind of unsurpassed enlightenment? Even if not all of them did, the majority of them probably did. Those who attend the lectures on the Dharma Flower Sutra all have a share in becoming Buddhas in the future. That you have heard this chapter on Guanyin Bodhisattva means that in the past, for many lives and many eons, you have planted limitless, boundless good roots. And so now you have this causal condition to assemble together and study the Buddha Dharma. This is a wonderful, inconceivable state. Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi is the highest position, the position of the Buddha's enlightenment, the unsurpassed, pervasive, proper enlightenment. Right enlightenment is the enlightenment of the arhats, those of the two vehicles. They have not, however, obtained proper and equal enlightenment. Who have obtained it? The bodhisattvas. They have obtained both right enlightenment and proper and equal enlightenment. Bodhisattvas are equal to the Buddha in that sense, but they haven't obtained unsurpassed enlightenment. Arhats have obtained right enlightenment, but they haven't yet obtained proper and equal or unsurpassed enlightenment. Bodhisattvas are said to be surpassed knights because they are surpassed by the Buddhas who are above them. The Buddhas are called unsurpassed knights because none are higher than they are. They have obtained unsurpassed, proper and equal, right enlightenment, which is like the perfect Bodhi that returns to non-attainment. The Buddhas have attained the perfection of the three kinds of enlightenment and also the 10,000 virtues. There is nothing higher than unsurpassed, proper and equal, right enlightenment. This title applies only to the Buddhas, not to the Bodhisattvas or Arhats. Thus, it is the highest position. From what position is this highest state reached? One might think it was realized from a high position, but that is not the case. The highest position is realized from the lowest position. Those who cultivate the way should be very careful not to become arrogant, because the highest position can only be reached from the lowest position. Lao Tzu said, "The highest form of goodness is like water. Water skillfully benefits the 10,000 things, but does not contend, because it abides in places that people despise. It is close to the way." The 10,000 things include all creatures, flying, walking, and swimming, as well as all the plants and trees. All creatures need water, whether they are egg-born, womb-born, transformation-born, or moisture-born. But even though all creatures are nourished and supported by water, the water never thinks, "I am benefiting you, supporting your lives, and helping you out." Water doesn't fight either. It doesn't insist on taking credit for what it does, as people usually do. People all say, "I did this good deed or that good deed. I built that temple. I built that bridge." They are always competing. Water never thinks like that. It's unselfish. It doesn't seek to benefit itself. Water doesn't fight for fame or profit. Water always flows to the bottom. It doesn't run upwards or fight to be on top. "But rain falls down from the sky," you say. That's a very good point. The rain does fall down. But how did it get up there in the first place? It goes up from the lowest place. Then it falls down and flows into the rivers and the seas, and still recedes into the low-lying places. It just goes up into the sky temporarily. Water goes to places where no one else wants to go. Why is it that cultivators don't like to live in fancy houses? They may even live in caves. The reason is they want to imitate water by dwelling in a lowly place. Because water goes to places people despise, it's close to the way. If you want to realize unsurpassed, proper and equal, right enlightenment, you too must begin from the lowest position. You don't begin at the top. If you want to become a Buddha, you must first be a good living being. How do you do that? Just do what is good. Don't do evil. Follow the good and change the evil. go down the good road and get off the bad road. Go forward and pursue what is in accord with the way. Retreat from that which is not in accord with the way. Then you will be able to obtain unsurpassed, proper and equal, right enlightenment. Today we have finished this general explanation of the Universal Door chapter. The wonderful doctrine of the Universal Door is ineffable and endless. It's not something that can be completely explained in a short period of time. The Dharma Flower Sutra is ineffably wonderful. Its wonderful functions are infinite and endless. Today, I have explained the meaning in general. In the future, if there is an opportunity, we can go into it more deeply. Saturday is Guanyin Bodhisattva's anniversary. Now that we have heard this chapter, we have a general idea about the spiritual powers and wonderful functions of Guanyin Bodhisattva. Saturday, we will recite Guanyin Bodhisattva's name and bow the great compassion repentance, and Guanyin Bodhisattva may manifest his inconceivable and wonderful functions. If there's anything on your mind, anything that you are seeking for, you should pray to Guanyin Bodhisattva. I believe that you will obtain what you seek. The wonderful Dharma Lotus Flower Sutra is the sutra for becoming a Buddha. Having heard the Dharma Flower Sutra, we each have a share in future Buddhahood. This is a very rare opportunity. Those who know Chinese know what bowing repentances is all about. Those who can't read Chinese, who can only pronounce the sounds, don't know what quelling disasters and increasing blessings and longevity is all about. If they understood, they could also bow very happily. During all the years I was in Hong Kong, people would bow the Medicine Master Repentance. They didn't just bow, they also gave $2 a month, or Hong Kong, $24 a year. Some people just gave money. Others gave money and bowed as well. Why? Because they wish to increase their blessings and longevity. The Medicine Master Repentance was very popular in Hong Kong. Most Buddhist temples like to hold this repentance because it would bring more people to the temple. They also wanted to quell disasters and increase their lifespan. People didn't know what disasters and obstacles lay in their future, so they all wanted to eradicate disasters and increase their blessings and longevity. That was the trend in China and Hong Kong. In America, the Buddha Dharma is just beginning and people aren't that greedy yet. Why not? Because they don't know that this is something to be greedy for. When they find out, I bet they'll be even greedier than the Chinese. When the time comes, it may get so that they'll even skip eating in order to come and bow repentances. When I was in Hong Kong at Western Bliss Garden Temple, people came to bow repentances all the time, not caring whether it was too cold or hot, or whether they were hungry or thirsty. Sometimes I would go and bow with them. But at other times I had other business to take care of and they would bow on their own. The more they bowed, the happier they were. Now that I've brought this up, some people are having false thinking. Some are thinking, I wouldn't be greedy. And others are thinking, I'd like to try it out.